Good morning. I think most of you know me. I know most of you. It is, well, nice to see you all here. Sure, I just feel the presence of God so strong. I agree with Richard so strongly. We don't come to do church, right? Look, it's beautiful outside. There are mountains. There are people to meet. There are places to go. Yet we choose to come here. So I want to encourage you to open your heart from the very beginning. And I felt so strongly, that's why I came forward in worship. I feel for some of you, you actually need to step out of your comfort zones. Dirkie started sharing about comfort zones. Was it last week? I feel it's such a word in season for us to get out of our comfort zone. And sometimes what we do is we need to physically move our bodies to a different location. So tonight, I think, Kaylin, we've got a slide up there. Tonight we've got a worship service. We do worship every Sunday night, but tonight we're going up the mountain, okay? Tonight we are going extra up the mountain. Small sermon, we'll probably have some word. But I want to encourage you, if you feel the stirring and you know how it feels, your hands get sweaty and your heart goes, "Sy praat nie met my nie. She's not talking to me. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me, Lord." Then I want to encourage you tonight. My boy, William, is trained. I trained him to move this pulpit out when he comes in. There is space in front. And I feel strongly for some of you. You come in a little bit later and you're like, "I don't want to go and stand in front. And maybe somebody's going to look at me." I've got news for you. Nobody's looking at nobody because we're worshiping God. But I feel there's a freedom. And I almost want to give you permission to worship God the way you want to and need to. Because we are here to meet with him. And if that means doing the uncomfortable thing and coming to the front where there's more space for you to do this, or maybe just for you to walk down the aisle and, "Lord, I am dying to myself today," then maybe that is what you need to do. So I want to encourage you tonight. I'm going to say it again. This is the open. It's a free space. The flags are not just for Liesl. Okay, and Janine has touched them, and Georgina, I know as well. The flags are there for anybody that wants to express. So we're trying to give you whatever you need, if you haven't noticed, to connect with God. To say, "God, I'm here to worship you." And for some of us, that means bowing down. For some of us, it's dancing. For some of us, it's a flag. It doesn't matter what it looks like. For some of us, it's blowing a shofar. Dirkie on his... He came in this morning and is like, "Lord, where do I sit today? Out of my comfort zone." For those who were here last week, you'll know what I'm talking. So I said, "Why don't you help somebody else out of their comfort zone?" So he came and he sat on mine, William's seat. And I was like, "Oh, that's a good one. So I'll take somebody else's seat." And then in comes William and he's like, "Mama?" And I said, "This is good for you." So you might find a shofar blowing at the back of your head at some stage if you're there at the back. So be warned. But I want to encourage you. I feel that there's something on this word that he shared last week. And we don't stir and want to poke bears that don't want to be poked. But we are interested in encountering God and giving freedom to the Holy Spirit. So that is that. I'm going to pray for us. But before we pray, I feel a word. Carla, is it your husband next to you? Yeah? Sir, I just feel a word for you quite strongly. When I saw you right in the beginning of the service, I feel God is saying to honor your courageousness. I feel just across your chest, I just saw the words written courageous. And I feel God is saying he's honoring the way you're leading. And I feel God is saying you're a gentle giant. And I actually wrote down specific words. You lead with mercy. You give mercy. And I feel God is saying he's honoring you and he's seeing you. So we just bless you in Jesus' name. I'm actually going to pray before we start. Lord, we thank you. Oh, we thank you that you are here. Father, we thank you that we know that we are nothing without you, God. And that we just get to be part of what you are doing. And this morning, Lord, we say we want to be part of your plans. We want to come and run into you, realizing that we are nothing. We are dust. God, we are dust, yet you choose to have a relationship with you. You choose to woo us into your presence. And we just say we are honored. God, we love you. We love your presence. We love you, Holy Spirit. You're so welcome here. I pray that you would come and break open the word, that you would speak to each of us, God. Yeah, Father, thank you that this morning, God, people will run into you, God. Thank you for people to be filled and baptized and filled afresh with your Holy Spirit, that the rivers of life will flow out of our bellies, out of our stomach, God. Yes, Lord, we just worship you, God. Yeah, I pray, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that there will be a stillness in the knowing that you are God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I did feel, I don't normally, well, sometimes, doesn't really matter. Today I'm doing it. I feel so you with the red shirt underneath your jacket. Yeah? I don't know if it's your first time here or not. It's your first time? Oh, shame. Sorry. Sorry, but not sorry. I feel God is saying you're called to be a leader. And I feel God is saying that you have got what it takes. And I feel sometimes you sometimes maybe doubt yourself. Can I do this? Can't I do this? I feel God is saying I'm with you. And you are a leader, and you are called for times such as this. And I actually feel God saying, do you know the book of Esther? Are you familiar with the Bible? If you don't, just ask somebody in church, what is she talking about? There's a book in the Bible called Esther. And I feel God is saying, Esther's story is for you. And that you need to read it. Go and read that book this week. And let God speak to you how he used that young lady. So bless you. Bless you as you walk with the Lord. I do feel there's one or two more. The lady at the back with the yellow jersey. Ja, net so. Is she Afrikaans? Is Engels ook? Okay, dan speak English. I feel God is saying it's a new season. I just feel the word springtime. It's springtime. It's springtime. So I don't know. I feel that it's maybe been a dormant season or winter season, if you want to call it like that. But I feel God is saying the seeds are coming to bloom. The stuff that you've sown, the seeds that you've sown in private you've sown many seeds. I feel God is saying he's honoring you and he's going to show you and it's going to be suddenly, it's soon, not suddenly, soon. It's not a suddenly thing because you've been sowing in private and you've been walking with him for a long time. But I feel God is saying the time is coming now for the fruit to come and he's going to, so feel God is saying, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. You so often want to, you pray for that one and for this one and God help that one and that one. And God is saying, I want to take care of you. The way you want to take care of your kids and your people, I want to take care of you. Oh, so maybe just if you are around them, why don't you just put your hand on his shoulder. Let's just pray for Father. I pray in Jesus' name, God. That you will bless our sister, God, that you will bless your daughter, God, with the knowledge, God, that she is worthy. Lord, she is worthy to be seen, to be known, to be chosen, to be loved by you, God. And I pray, Father, that you would just come and reveal yourself as a loving and a good Father afresh to her again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. All right, so this morning, there might be more coming out, but we'll see. This morning, we're going to Psalm 46. If you have your Bible, we are going to stand still at that psalm. I don't have my Bible. I love doing my Bible, but this week I was next to sport fields for my three kids. The amount of time was just crazy, so I couldn't keep on carrying my Bible. It felt like I was going to break my Bible in half if I keep on doing this. So I actually photocopied the psalm, but after seeing what I've done, it was probably better to not have my Bible. It would have been scribbled all over. So if you are in Psalm 46, we're going to work our way through that psalm. I felt the Lord wants us to just focus on this one this morning. Okay, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read as we go. And then we're going to stand still. It says that I'm reading from the New King James. I think I've got it. Oh, there we go. Thanks, Galen. God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Isn't that beautiful? It starts off verse 1. It says, God is our refuge, our strength, and our help. I was meditating on the word refuge. That stood out for me. Refuge is a safe place, a place we run to, a place where I feel I can let it out. We went camping last year. December we go camping every year, and the kids took their little bikes with. I've got three kids for those who are visiting: William 10, Margaret. No, William 12, Margaret 10, Christina 8. And they went off cycling in the camping site. And Richard and I were sitting at the tent enjoying a moment of conversation for us, those parents who know what I'm talking about. So we enjoying the time just talking to each other. And they were out cycling. They know the caravan park, so I don't know where they go. They do their thing. And the next moment, I heard a scream. I won't do it on the microphone, but it's like, Mama! Now, I know my kids. I know when there's a scream and a scream. You know, a mom knows. I think a dad also knows. You know, that scream is blood. That one is just attention. That's just a fight. You kind of know. This mama, I knew. I think I looked at Richard and I said, there's blood. I knew. And it was Christina, our little one, and she's the toughest. So if she does a mama on you, you must know, not good. And she came running into our little campsite, and she had fallen off her bike, but it was quite a bad fall. So she came and she jumped on me. I literally fell back. I had to stand, and I sat on the ground just trying to contain this little body. And I said, it's okay, it's okay. And then she started crying profusely, and I fell off the bike and the whole thing, and eventually the brother and sister came along as well, and we're just trying to calm her down to see, okay, the knee's open, it is pretty bad, there is blood, it is chaos, and we're just trying to calm the whole situation down, and I said, what happened, and they explained the whole thing, what happened, they were chasing each other with the bikes, and what. But then William said, but Mom, and Margaret is the best at truising, you know, looking after her sister and her brother. She's amazing. I mean, she looks after me when I'm crying. She's like, Mom, I tried to help Christina, but she just ran. And then William says, yes, and there was a lady that was camping close to where and the other women's and tannies, the adults wanted to help her, but Christina would have none of it. She left that bike and she just ran, blood and all. Mama, to our campsite. And this week, as I was preparing this, I felt God saying, that's a place of refuge. That's a safe place. That is God for us. Christina, and I think for most of us, we have our safe places, and I don't actually even want us to go there in our mind, but if you need to do that, but I want you to realize that God is that safe space for us. My kids, when they go through a difficult time or had a difficult day, I see even William, I asked him, he sat so on top of me now in the offering. He's 12 years old. He puts his head here and my hand must be on his leg and he holds on. And eventually I'm like, do you want to sit on my lap? He's like, no, not in front of the people. But they want to climb on top of me. For those who have kids, you know what I mean. They had a, not that William didn't have a bad day. I think he was just a bit cold this morning. He refuses to wear long pants. But anyways, but my kids, I kid you not, last week we had a bit of a rough week and Richard came home and he's like, what's going on? Yeah. And I said, well, they asked that I watch the movie with them, but now I've got three kids. So I've got a problem because I've got a one side here and a one side here, but the other one doesn't want to sit there. Okay. So that sounds intense. So I've got Christina lying on top of me, okay? So I've got one on top of me, and my arms are like this. We're trying to watch a movie. But that is a safe place. That is a refuge. That is what God is to us. All the parents are like, I know that one. You're like, oh, I just need space, personal space. But that is how God saying, God, you are our safe space. During worship this week, we were at a meeting in Cape Town, and I've got many things needing breakthrough. We all do. I've got many things that I want God to answer. God, what do we do here? What do we do there? So in worship, I'm worshiping, and at the end of worship, I'm listening. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And then I felt God saying, I just want to hug you. I just want to hug you. And in my mind's eye, I saw my dad. He's a little bit taller than me. He's not lebenslang. He's just a little, he's taller than me. But my dad gives the best hugs. You go to him and he hugs you. And it feels like there's nothing else in this world that matters. And in that moment, Richard does it as well. I get home and I've got many things and many things happened. And he's trying to solve the problem. And I'm saying, I just need a hug. Honestly, I just need a hug. What am I looking for? I'm looking for a safe space. And this week in worship, I felt, and I was in tears, and I just felt God saying, I just want to hug you. I just want to hug you. Just come closer. And I feel this morning for many of us, that is what the psalmist is saying. God is our refuge. He is our safe space. He is our strength. He is our help. You know what? When you are in your refuge, your safe space, you get the strength you need. You get the help you need. And then it goes on there in verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. Isn't that amazing? We don't need to fight fear when we're in our safe space. When we're in God's embrace, we don't need to, I'm battling fear, I'm sorting out fear. Let me tell you, when I'm standing, and I'm 42, I don't see my dad that often because they farm in the Free State. But when he comes and he gives me this hug, and lately I think he's getting older, I'm getting older, and I see we're holding on longer and longer. Especially when we greet and I'm Hyalos Altweer. We both cry, not knowing why. But the longer I stand there's no fear there. There's no, shucks, what am I going to do? Can I get it right now? There's safety. There's I'm okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I feel this morning God is saying, you don't need to fight fear. Just come into your place of safety. God is our place of safety. God is our refuge. And then it carries on there, the rest of verse 2 and 3, even though the mountains be moved and the waters roar. And that is just problems. That's just what the psalmist is saying. It's problems. Whatever your problem is, whatever, put it in there. Put in your mountain or your waters roaring. Maybe that is a financial thing. Maybe that is what Derek is saying. You're in a situation where it's looking dire. Maybe it's a child, and you really, I mean, as a parent, a child, I don't think they ever grow. Maybe the grandparents can tell us. I think grandkids just more love, but also more worries. But you don't ever. Oh, it's like a piece of you walking outside of you. So I'm okay if you do something to me or even if I go through a hard time. But let me tell you, one of my kids go through it. This is difficult stuff. So maybe for you that is a challenge. Maybe for you the mountains and the waters roaring is a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. I feel for somebody it's a court case. I don't know if anybody's stuck in a legal battle. But I feel God is saying that for somebody, the mountain, the waters is a court case. And I feel God is saying, you don't need to fear any of that. Just come into God. God is your place of safety. God is the place where you find strength and help. So we're going to carry on. That was the first part. So we read verse 4. We're starting there. And it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The mountains raged, The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Wow. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Yo. Now that didn't stand out to me this week, but it is now. So I'm just going to go with that a little bit. Oh, wow. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. What giant can we face if this is the God who is our refuge and our safe place? When he speaks, the earth melts. But verse 4 says there is a river, and I wrote it down here on the 23rd of July. I preached a sermon about the river, remember? John 7, where Jesus says, anybody who is thirsty, come and drink, and out of your innermost beings, rivers of life will flow. That's the Holy Spirit. He was prophesying and speaking about the Holy Spirit coming. And then we looked at Ezekiel 47 and this river that is flowing and the prophet getting in ankle deep, waist deep. You guys remember that? But it says in Ezekiel 47, this river, which is the Holy Spirit, it's the presence of God that Jesus says will come out of our bellies. Rivers that will come out of us. How amazing. But Ezekiel 47 says this river, it brings healing. You must go and read that chapter if you haven't read it. This river, where it goes, it made the Dead Sea, which doesn't have an in or an outflow, so it's just a puddle of toxic water, it made it come alive to such an extent that now there were living creatures. There were sea fish swimming in that Dead Sea. That's what the river of life does. That's what the river of the Holy Spirit does. So this psalmist is saying, and it's not David, I think it's a Korah, it says some psalm of the sons of Korah, but he's saying that number one, God is your refuge, your help, your strength. But number two, he's saying, the other good news is, the first good news is, you've got a place of safety to run into. That is God your Father. But the other good news is there is a river that's flowing out of you, in you. The second verse, sentence in verse 4 says, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. So this river, it flows in the city of God, the place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. The ESV says the holy habitation of the Most High God. This river, which is the Holy Spirit, it flows through the tabernacle. In this psalmist days, it was the city of Jerusalem. That was where the temple was. That was where worship happened. But Jesus came and he said, where do we worship now? Where is the tabernacle, the temple of God? Where is that? It's us. I've got news for you. This building is not the church. God dwells within us. It blows my mind. It blows my mind because I'm like, how can the God of the universe, the Holy Spirit is God. He's not a ghost. He's not a dove. He's like a dove. He's like fire. He's like wind. But he isn't. He's a person and he's God. And God chooses to come and make his dwelling place in me, in a body. It blows my mind. I think that one I'll struggle with for all of eternity, that the God of the universe, the one who utters his voice and the earth melted, comes and makes his home inside of me and you, flesh and blood. And then sometimes we get hung up on manifestations. Why is that one shaking so much, or why are they falling over? And you ask the kids, and I ask my kids, because some of them sometimes ask, and I'm like, what do you think happens when the God who spoke the universe into being, who spoke in these magnificent mountains, what do you think will happen when he comes and he makes his home inside of a body? Oh, Mom, anything can happen. I can understand that you're trembling or falling down. Sometimes it happens. But isn't that encouraging that you are not alone? And whatever your mountain or your impossibility is, the God of the universe lives inside of you. He made his dwelling place, his home inside of you. If you are saved, If you have said, Jesus, I give my life to you. I believe that you died and you rose again. And I want you to make you Lord of my life. Then the Holy Spirit comes and he lives inside of us. But then there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Guys have heard of that. We've spoken about that quite a bit. But I felt this morning, and it came out in intercession. Mallory doesn't know what I'm preaching about, but she prayed about people being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I feel for some of you, you are facing impossibilities, or you are just plain struggling. Loneliness came up in intercession before the time. Tiredness. You know that there's scripture, and I'm not good at quoting. I know the scriptures. I'm not good at quoting the, this is the exact verse. But you can find it in there. It says there that the Spirit of God lives inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, right? The Holy Spirit raised Jesus' physical body. He lives inside of us and he gives health to our physical bodies. And if you think about it, if the Spirit of the living God lives inside of this body, then the kingdom has actually come inside of my body, right? So should sickness be there? No. It's violation. It's trespassing. Why? Because there's no sickness where God is. Because he is the healer. Should there be sleeplessness? Should I be struggling to sleep at night? No. I shouldn't. Because peace is not a thing. It's a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God is one. It's all confusing. But let me tell you, they're all in you if you are saved. Because the Holy Spirit has made these. That doesn't mean you are superhuman. It doesn't. It means that you are holy and set apart for God. But insomnia, I feel that there's some of us that are maybe struggling to sleep. And I feel God is saying, when the Prince of Peace is inside of you, peace is your inheritance. Peace is what you get. Not because you did anything nice or good. It's a gift. It's part of who moved in when you said, Jesus, take me. Yeah. You need two hands, you need two feet, you can use me. So we're going to pray for people. I feel that there's some of us who's actually, it also came up in the worship. Maybe you feel like you've become a bit dry. And God, I used to know that you are inside of me, and I used to connect and hear you easy, but I'm not, and I'm struggling. And I feel God is saying today is the day. To be filled with the Holy Spirit again. And you know the Holy Spirit is a gift. We cannot earn. We cannot make it happen. We can't do anything. But we can come and say, Jesus, the word says, Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Spirit, with fire. And this morning, there's going to be an invitation at the end to just say, Jesus, come and fill me with your Holy Spirit again. Holy Spirit, come and live. Come and make me so full that my cup runs over, that this river of the Holy Spirit can flow out of me, that wherever I go, you can touch whoever you want to touch, and that there is fruit in my life. We often speak about it, but you know, I planted some fruit trees here. Was it 2 years ago? The year I turned 40, I decided we are doing fruit trees. So I planted a couple of fruit trees and granadillas and what. And we look, and it's just beautiful. Springtime especially. It looks like these trees are dead. I kid you not. They look dead in winter. I actually go and I scratch them. I'm like, is there green in there? Because it's a stalker. But come springtime, it just comes alive. It's these little flowers and out of nowhere. And I'm like, who told you? Because it feels too like winter to me still. You know, it's cold. It's rainy. But they know clockwork. September comes, the fruit trees start budding. It's fascinating. I love it. But not one of them I see trying to produce fruit. Like, I'm desperately going to make a peach today. Today I'm making a peach. They don't do that. They just rest, planted in the right soil. Make sure you are planted in a house, in a church. Some of you feel that's a word. You're in 2 minds. Should I be in church? Should I be in another church? Where it doesn't really matter which church. Find a church where you are growing closer to God. A Bible-believing one. It's a good one. But these trees are planted. They get their nutrition, and the fruit just comes. Why? Because that's what they were created to do. So from our bellies, from us, will flow a river that will make glad the city of God that is us. his tabernacle. And then verse 7, it says there again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our safe place. And then we come to verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. There now the psalmist is saying, come, come, look at everything God has done. The Amplified actually doesn't just say desolations. He says, come and look at the desolations and the wonders of God. So the psalmist is saying, come out of this place where you're feeling overwhelmed with your troubles and you're thinking the water is and the mountains is going to be falling into the sea. That's all psalmist talk. Come away from your financial troubles, whatever is worrying you, whatever anxiety you have. Come and look what God has done. Come and look at his wonders. And then he goes on to describe some of it. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. He says, God is the one who, when it's war, he's the God who brings peace. Whether it's war, you pick your place. I think Ukraine and Russia are still fighting, right? How on earth they have been having war for, feels like years. It's so long. And people are trying to sort this out and bring peace. But God is, the psalmist is saying, come and look. God is the one who brings peace. He's the one who brings reconciliation. He's basically saying, every impossibility, God is the one. Just come and look. Remember what he has done. Look at what he's done in your friends' lives. Look at, for some of you, oh, it's going this morning, so we'll just go with it. I feel for some of you, you're trusting God for reconciliation. In significant relationships in your life. For some, it's with a mother, and for others, it's with children, especially for mothers and whether it's daughters or sons, it doesn't matter. And I feel God is saying, I'm the one who makes peace. I'm the one who makes peace. Just come into me. Come and find your refuge and strength and help in me, and I will do the reconciliation. I will be the one who brings peace. So the psalmist is saying, come and look at this awesome God. And then from this place of God is our refuge, there's a river, the Holy Spirit, that's, you've got a refuge that you need to run into, but the Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, lives inside of us. And then looking at everything God has done, now for the first time in this psalm, God is speaking. God comes, and this psalmist is quoting God's words. And I somehow feel when God speaks, it's, I know it's not more important, but the red letters in my Bible is Jesus' words. I somehow perk up when I read them, and I'm like, this is Jesus speaking. So this is God speaking, and he says, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And I felt God saying that I read a commentary also this week about this, be still. And it can mean being quiet, coming into your quiet time. Quiet time, my boy asked me this week, what is quiet time? And I realized sometimes we speak Christianese and not everybody. Now, quiet time is when we spend time with God, reading our Bible, praying, worshiping. And that can be that, I believe, being still is getting away from the buzz and the routine and everything happening. But in this context, I read another commentary and it resonated with me. In the context where the psalmist has just spoken about war and God is the one who brings peace and breaking the spears and burning the chariots, that there is no more fighting. And the commentary said, this be still can also be interpreted in this context of war in the psalmist as to stop fighting. And I was like, wow, that just blew my mind. I was like, God is saying, be still. Don't just be quiet, just stop fighting. We've been in a season of up and down, difficult season, challenges. You know how it is. Sometimes there's a whole lot of challenges and sometimes it feels like you're just floating through life. We're not floating at the moment. We've got challenges. But God has been so speaking to me and each time I pray and I'm like, God, what is going on here? And he's like, don't you worry about what's going on. I just need you to stand. Just stand. And I realized this week, for some of us, it's not actually just me and Richard going through this. For some of you, you're also going through a challenging season. And I feel God is saying the word for you as well, just stand. But you know, you could stand and still be fighting on the inside. And I feel God is saying to stop fighting. To stop fighting and trusting in Him who is your refuge. He is our help. He is our strength. He is our safe place. But until, if I am trying to give my dad a hug, I think I need a hug after. And if I want to experience His love, I cannot wiggle. Okay? Have you tried to give a little child a hug who doesn't want to be hugged? Try giving a 3 or 5 or 4 year old a hug and they don't want, try a teenager for that matter. That would be nice. I'm sure they just go, unless I'm all 8. It's not fun hugging somebody who doesn't want to be hugged, who's not being still. And I feel God is saying for some of you, you come into your refuge, but you are not stopping the fighting. And God is saying, you know why you can stop the fighting? It's because I am your shield. I am your defender. I want to fight your battles for you. Just come. Just come and stand. And there is a time and a season that we need to go out and march and do everything in the spirit. And that will come. But for some of you, I feel you actually may be in the same season as the Wades are at the moment. That God is saying, stop the fighting and just come. Just come home. Come into me. I wanted to share a final testimony and then we're going to pray for people. In this whole thing what we're going through, we all know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, right? Okay, for somebody that's the word as well. Your fight is not with the people in your house. They are not your enemy. No matter what they did, the people at your workplace, your boss is not your enemy. He or she really isn't. Our battle is against powers and principalities. The enemy is our enemy. Let's not confuse. People are not our enemy, right? So we are in a spiritual battle. Whether you like it or not, you are in it. And when the one kingdom advances, the other one creeps, gets smaller. It just happens like that. So there is a clash because nobody wants to give up ground, right? Nobody wants to. So there is a clash. So we've been in the season of standing and it's in the spirit. There's a contention. And about 2 weeks ago, I started having a pain in my back right here next to the, what do you call a rug vertebral? Next to the spine, yeah, on the left. And it's sore. And I tell Richard, do the deep-eat thing and pray. So he's putting on deep-eat and he's praying, declaring healing. Nothing happens. And then it's better for a day or what, but then it's a painful sore, you know, how, and I'm like, I can't understand what is going on because it's not the spine, it's not a muscle, I didn't pick up any, I'm trying to figure it out all with my head, right? And this week in worship, at this same worship event, we were just in the room, we didn't do anything, we were just there listening and receiving from the Lord. In the worship, I feel God is saying, there are arrows in your back. And for some of you might think I'm crazy, come and speak to me afterwards. The spiritual reality is more real than the natural real. I'm sorry, it just is. But now I'm trying in worship to pull this out, ne? I'm trying desperately. So I thought, geez, okay, I can't reach. I'll tell Richard to pull it out when we get home. But then afterwards, they have an altar call saying, if anybody needs prayer, please come forward if you need healing or whatever. So I told Richard, I think we need to go forward because he's struggling with a cough. You've heard him cough. And I've got the back problem. So we're going forward. And we get forward and we tell the guy a little bit about our story. Richard's struggling with this. My back is sore. It's been a little bit intense because we lead a church and we've just been pushing into this, you know, the kingdom has been coming, but there's been a contention. And this man is saying, as you were speaking, I saw a bloody battlefield. And yes, you guys have been in the war. And I'm like, yes. And he starts praying and he's like, there's something in your back. I need to pull it out. I'm like, no ways, please do. So this man pulls it out. He pulls out the stuff. Yeah, he didn't say arrow. He just said, there's something in your back. I need to pull something out of your back. And I said, well, thank you. I tried to do it in worship and I couldn't reach. He pulls it out, but then he puts some salve on it. Okay. Now for some of you, I know this is out there. Spiritual salve. He didn't have salve. So he just says, I'm putting some salve from God on the back. We walked out and it felt better. This was on Thursday or Friday. Since then, it's just felt like a bruise. The sting is gone. I can still feel it. It feels like it's bruised. But that pain is gone. And I feel for some of you, you are in a spiritual battle. And whether you are believing or some of you are struggling and you're like, I don't believe this stuff. It's not real. Come, let me show you in the Bible. It is real. We are a spiritual being wrapped in a body. Okay? But I feel this morning, and maybe, Mallory, you can come up. I feel this morning there's some of us that you need to actually come forward and walk into a hug. Just do the prophetic act of standing up and saying, God, I am coming to you. My refuge, my strength, my help. And for some of you, we're not actually even going to pray. We're just going to hug you and say, this is the arms of the Father. We're just representing the Father this morning. You just need that. You need to know that there is a place where you can go. I feel for specifically for some of the men, you feel like you need to have it all together. I need to have the finances. I need to have the answers because I'm head of the house and I need to lead and I don't know what to do. And I feel God is saying, you're still my son. And just come into your place of safety. And let me take all the pressure away. Let me be the one who do the fighting for you. You know, God wants to fight for us. We want to take care of our kids. But if they don't want us to take care of them, we cannot. We cannot. We can't force a kid, especially a teenager, older one. So for some of the men and the ladies, I feel that there's almost a prophetic act of walking away, and I'm going to come back. I felt the word came up in intercession. For some of you, you feel lonely. You can actually close your eyes. Not that there's anything spooky or spiritual. It just helps us to focus on the Lord. So Holy Spirit, if you feel comfortable, you want to keep your eyes open, you're more than welcome to. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and speak to us, each of us now. Lord, I pray for those whose hearts is bouncing and racing and thinking, I don't want to go to the front. I don't want to do this, Lord. And I actually feel for some of you, that racing heart, those sweating palms, those, I just want to get out of here. This church is long enough now. I feel that's actually the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. Tugging on your heart, saying, just come away. Just give me a little bit more of your time. I wanna love you. I love you so much. Stop running. Stop chasing the next thing, the next appointment, the next. Just come into my love. Come into my place where I am your safe place, your refuge. And right here with Jesus, you will find the strength. You will find the help. So if that is you, while all eyes are closed, won't you just slip up your hand if you're saying, I need to come into God as my place of refuge. Would you just slip up? Thank you for those hands. Many hands going up. Thank you. If you slipped it up, you can put it down again. Get up. And then I feel that there's some of us that you need the river of the Holy Spirit to come in, either for the first time. Maybe you say, I've never been baptized. I've never really allowed or invited the Holy Spirit to come and make his home inside of me. And for some of you saying, I'm actually stepped out of the river. I'm not in the river. The river is, am saved, and it's not a question of salvation. It's about whether you are full to overflowing with the Spirit of God. And there's no shame. We just break shame. For some of us, I feel like you've gotten busy with other stuff. And unfortunately, we can quench the Holy Spirit. And we move away when we get involved in sin and things that He's not really not comfortable in. Places, conversations. The Holy Spirit is not comfortable in those places. And for some of us, we've actually gone where He has not been welcomed. And because of that, there's been a bit of a disconnect. But I feel the invitation this morning. God is saying, just come. Jesus will fill you with His Holy Spirit again. The Holy Spirit wants to make His house, His home in you. So if that is you this morning, either you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, or you say, I just need more of the Holy Spirit. I need a fresh infilling so that rivers of life can flow out of me, that I don't need to groan and intercede for patience, but patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. God, that fruit will just happen automatically. If that is you, why don't you just slip up your hand? Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? Thanks. You can put it down. And then the last group of people that I feel is this word, be still. Be still and know. This word of standing. Stop fighting. Stop fighting. And I know that when I spoke, that resonated with some of you. You in the same season. And we as people, we want to justify and we want to fight. And God, I'm going to tell these people what I think and I'm going to sort it out. And I feel God is saying it's a season of just stop fighting. Stop fighting. If that is you, if you realize this morning, I need to surrender and stop fighting, why don't you just slip up your hand as well? Thank you. Many hands. Thanks for those hands. I'm going to ask you to be very brave. Even if you didn't fall into any of those categories, but you're saying, my heart is pounding so fast, I just want to run out of this church. That is the Holy Spirit inviting you, saying, just come to the front and meet with me. These people in front, they are not magical. They are not anything. But we are conduits of the love of God. So if you stuck up your hand for anything, why don't you be brave and come to the front and we're going to pray with you. There's anybody else, you're welcome to come. If you are here in front, you can just close your eyes and just focus on the Lord.